grip was firm, but slightly damp with sweat. It wasn't hot in the cave. Nervous sweat? Suddenly, he had the vague feeling there was something important she wasn't telling him, something she was holding in reserve. He would have his people ready for treachery, more so than usual.
Liberty, equality, fraternity.
Ryan rested both hands on the table.
Now we're gonna need some information. Maps of the Ville showing every known attack point with the gas, and everywhere you've dug tunnels. We need to know how many Sekhmen we're facing, what weapons they have, and what kind you have.
The others murmured among themselves.
This is a lot. If this information falls into the hands of the heirs, we'll be destroyed.
You ask a lot. We aren't fools or suicides to charge blindly into battle.
And leave me the vial.
No, you'll get it just before your attack.
Mildred explained to their puzzled expressions.
I'm a physician, a healer. I might be able to analyze the formula and duplicate it. Make enough for everybody.
Conflicting emotions played across the brunette's face.
No. The risk for betrayal is too great. You get the antidote when we say so, not before.
Mildred shrugged in acceptance. Christy holstered her weapon.
The Ville Sekhmen have blasters. Without Leviathan, we're going to need an equalizer. Something unexpected. Can't conduct a revolution with sticks and rocks.
Jack pulled up a chair.
Sure can. Just lose.
Doc leaned on his cane.
Our loquacious teenaged friend is correct. Without proper weaponry, our efforts are for naught.
We need a key. JB, what can you do with this dynamite?
The armorer inspected the top stick in the wooden box. The wax tube was glistening with silver dewdrops. He replaced it with extreme care.
This is really old. It's sweaty nitro. Dangerous stuff. I can probably stabilize it into plastique. Should yield a couple of pounds of C4.
Not enough. Any more in stock?
That's all we have. And two men died stealing that much.
JB scratched under his hat.
Well, I can make lots of black powder if you folks can get me some sulfur. The charcoal we can make from slow-roasting wood, and saltpeter we dig up out of the latrines.
I know the technique for turning black powder into gunpowder. It isn't plastique, but it explodes better than black powder.
A couple of hundredweight of that, and we're in business.
Nails for shrapnel.
Explosives from night soil?
Lisa stared at the companions as if she questioned their sanity.
Close enough. Crystals form under deposits of waste. The older the better. The crystals are saltpeter, one of the chemicals needed to make black powder.
This news was received with excitement.
Unfortunately, we have no latrines. The night soil of the Ville is flushed into the river.
JB exhaled and tilted his hat backward.
Great. Well, what about silver? Coins, cups, anything will do.
We can get some, yes. But for what purpose? Any supplies needed, we don't buy, we steal.
Then steal me silver. And white sugar, lots of it, all you can.
There is beet sugar, but it's reserved for the heirs, and it's much more closely guarded than ornamental metals.
Get me enough, and I can make us explosives.
From silver and sugar?
And water, and sunlight, and old rags, yes.
JB tapped the wooden box of dynamite with a fingertip.
I'll use these as primers and centers. Should do the job just fine.
Use them to do what?
Get us more plastique. Plus, grands, ammo, and anything else useful we can find.
Never waste time trying to reinvent the wheel. Why make crude weapons when we can steal good ones?
Steal? You plan on raiding the Ville Armory?
Sure. Last thing anybody would expect. You aren't cowards. Invade the Citadel. I don't believe that has ever been attempted.
Good. And security will be lax.
Dean stepped forward.
Excuse me, but I wanted to ask, what happened to Shard? Who?
Lisa furrowed her brows. Christy glanced around the tunnel room.
Shard, the prisoner who was with us. Where is he?
Shard?
Tall, skinny guy. Bushy beard.
The slim brunette looked at her associates, then directly at the companions.
I'm sorry, but we don't understand. There wasn't anybody else in the courtyard when we found you.
Are you sure? Maybe he got away, or the guards captured.
She shook her head.
Nobody.
Wash lines, heavy with laundry, wove a crazed netting over the filthy street. Marching in formation, a squad of Sekhmen tramped through the squalid huts, pushing aside everybody in their way with a complete lack of concern. An old woman fell sprawling into the mud, and half-naked children ran screaming for their mother's skirts. Strong men stood silent as the armed guards went by, many of them hiding a clenched fist behind their backs.
"This is it."
A corporal pointed at a hovel. The house was made from bits and pieces of plywood and sheet metal, the tar paper roof sealed with mud. The whole thing was bleached gray from exposure to the acid rains from the west. One savage kick from a private, and the door broke apart into kindling, pieces of wood still clinging to the rusty hinges. Inside, a girl was using a bare stick to stir a pot of something cooking over a small fire of coal fragments. As the Sekhmen entered, she dropped the stick and folded her hands, bowing as low as possible. She spoke to the ground, not daring to look directly at them.
"Good sirs, command me."
"Where are the strangers? We know they're loose in detail. Tell us where."
Underneath the layers of cooking grease and dirt, he saw she was a beauty indeed, and wondered why this one had never before been brought to the barracks for a week of bed duty. Sloppy recruiting.
"Strangers, good master?"
She blinked, wringing her hands.
"Outlanders, pretty one."
He traced her face with a finger. Her cheek muscles twitched, but she didn't flinch.
"Newdy invaders come to kill us all."
"I haven't seen them, master. I'm a good prisoner. I obey the law."
The corporal released her and moved aside. Stepping closer, a burly Sekhmen slapped her across the face with the back of his gloved hand. She hit the dirt floor, sobbing wildly. A hint of a smile crossed the corporal's face.
"Liar! Where could you get coal pieces unless they were stolen?"
The young woman worked her lips a few times, but nothing came out. Everybody stole coal pieces. It was the only way to stay alive. Didn't they understand?
"Perhaps you gave yourself to the miners for scraps. Crime. And now you lie. Another crime."
He smiled openly at her now, his blue eyes shining.
"Maybe a day with Eugene will change your words."
She grabbed his leg.
"No, please. I have no knowledge of strangers. I obey the law."
The corporal snapped his fingers, and a Sekhmen moved behind her, drew a knife, and slid it across her throat. Blood welled, and the teenager fell backward, clutching her neck, bubbling crimson. The corporal wiped a spot of her warm blood off his boots onto her skirt.
"Assaulting a free man. Crime."
Going outside, the Sekhmen found the marketplace empty except for a few stragglers, mostly cripples and young children. But as the corporal glanced at the crude homes, he saw motion behind closed curtains and in doorways.
"The girl is dead, as will be all traitors who help the invaders. Assassins come to slay our beloved ward."
"Then may the Lord of us all guide their blasters."
This was muttered by an old man, leaning on a crutch. From under his ragged garment, only one leg reached the ground. In a fluid move, the Sekhmen pulled his blaster and fired. The villagers watched in horror as the cripple fell to the muddy street, his rags shifting to show the countless scars on his skeleton-thin body. The corporal brandished his revolver.
"You will tell us their location! Lying is a crime! Crimes are punishable by death!"
Silence greeted this announcement.
"The Deathland scum aren't your friends! We are your friends! Tell us where they are! I command it!"
Nobody spoke or moved.
"Failure to obey a free man! Crime!"
He gunned down two more people at random.
"Squad! Tear this street apart! Find me the invaders or find me somebody who will talk!"
Eagerly, the squad began shoving people aside, entering homes and smashing furniture. Unarmed, the people didn't attempt to defend themselves, but merely bowed their heads and prayed for deliverance from the living hell of Novaville.
"Here they are!"
Lisa hurried into the tunnel, her arms full of paper bundles. Troy entered with her, but stayed near the disguised entrance, a hand resting casually on his holstered blaster. Placing aside their plates of food, mostly bread and boiled vegetables, the companions gathered around a table as the brunette spread out a map of the mountain valley.
This is a survey map.
Ryan placed a wooden mug on a corner to hold the paper flat. Doc rubbed the paper between fingertips.
Excellent condition. Where did you find